When Buddy goes to Mexico and he sees at the restaurant that there's not like marionetas and like piñatas everywhere, he's like, what is this? Is not a real Mexican restaurant.
Can you take me to a Mexican restaurant?
Is there a midget here serving food at least?
Wait, you don't have tableside guac?
Oh, is that, do they have that?
No, that's what Americans all think that exists. This is terrible.
Buddy's like,
are we recording?
Yeah.
Because you know that it's 4:20 right now. Forget about that. It's May 25th, 2018.
So we'll see you guys in about 1 hour.
So that's Farshad. That's Buddy. I'm Alejandro. We'll talk about cars once we come back. Hit it, Pedro.
Guys, we're back. Hello?
And then now you're getting cut into this? No, we did not get high that fast. It's 4:20.
Who gets down?
Wait, high? What? No, yeah, exactly.
Guys, these are SAG actors. These are SAG actors.
You
don't think they were getting high. This was a performance.
That's right. That's right. And I thought you were calling out SAG for kicking out Morgan Freeman. We won't talk about that. We're not here to talk about Hollywood and their problems. We're here to talk about cars. And Buddy, what's in the schedule? We haven't been around for so long. I think we should.
Is the car business even still around?
We got a whole lot of stuff to touch on today. We're gonna skip over the personal stuff and just go straight into the cars.
Straight into the cars. I agree.
So last night I went and saw the movie Solo. A Star Wars movie.
I thought we were going to talk about cars.
I'm totally kidding.
Hey, were there any branded vehicles in there?
No.
There are no spaceships with Audi logos.
No.
So none of these brands made it into the future.
Even Lexus made it or Infiniti. I can't remember which one into a Black Panther.
Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah, Lexus.
Quechua for life, motherfuckers.
Yeah, but what was that?
Quechua for life or what's the
Wakanda?
It's the same thing. It's Quechua for life.
Ketchup for life. It's wow. Please don't disrespect it. We're gonna cut all this out. It's Wakanda forever.
It's not a real.
It's Wakanda forever. Yeah, Alejandro, look at me.
Wakanda forever.
Quechua for life. That's what I am. Life is what I am. Let's go.
What are you saying, though?
All I was saying is, even in that movie, they had Lexuses.
For me?
No.
Quechua?
No. Quechua.
Quechua?
Yeah. Also, Alejandro, I don't know what movie you saw, but they weren't that too much into the future.
No.
Probably
I know.
Like 2025.
But they also have technologies that like...
He actually didn't see Black Panther. He saw like a documentary about the Black Panther movement in the 70s during Vietnam.
Yeah, it's the movie about the civil movement, right? Go on, buddy. Fuck me.
Guys, the first thing I want to talk about is something that you guys actually have a vested interest in. The Ford Mustang GT500.
That's correct.
They unveiled the first picture today, and it's a aerial shot from the top where you just see the full body lines of the vehicle.
I saw a lot of things.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw a lot of speculations.
The GT500? What's that car in Ford's lineup? Why is it so special, and why did you make me put a deposit for it?
Honestly, I have no idea. I just know it's going to be worth a lot of money. I'm number 15, and then you're number 7. That's it. I just heard GT500. I'm like, yes, count me in. Because it's been a legendary. It's the highest.
It's like the highest Mustang. They did, and it's like normally they call it the Shelby 500. So that it's got like pedigree and all of that stuff.
So this is a lineup that has gone all the way from the 60s. Forever. Like it's gone a long time.
Yeah. Ever since Galping started that. Do you know that Shelby only exists because of Galpin? We gotta make a documentary.
We have to.
These guys, we walk around Galpin all the time. You guys see it and are like, oh, you should stop going there every fucking day. We can't. All the shit that they do and they have, it's really cool.
And every day you uncover something new.
And then do you know there's a picture of the first sunroof that made it to America? And he was in Galpin. And you know who's in the picture?
Who?
Jeff's dad.
Wow.
How dope is that? But the GT500.
So you got the Ford Mustang GT. Mm-hmm. Then you got the GT350.
Correct.
GT350R.
Yep.
And then the GT500. And
is it really the Shelby above the R?
Yeah.
I'm definitely getting mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
100.
I didn't know that.
But the GT350R is Shelby as well.
Yeah, but that's why. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, is it going to be that caliber of car?
Yes. Above. Yeah, yeah. Above.
Get out of here.
Yeah, above.
Yeah, so, by the way, that picture that we just saw looks insane. If you're listening to the podcast, I'm sorry. You should watch this because...
Yeah, because what it is the GT500 is going to have a supercharged V8 from what we understand, over 700 horsepower. But what comes with this one so far that we see is they take the GT350R and just blend it with the 4GT and just bring in so much aggressiveness, you know, like the side body lines, the hunches, the
I am actually surprised they're not throwing in the EcoBoost V6, but I guess that would destroy the legacy of the Shelby.
I am sure.
Should I just shut my mouth?
Yeah, I'm sure Mr. Shelby had something written somewhere. By the way, someone told me there's some kind of agreement that they all have to be manual or something like that. There's some kind of...
But no. But there are rumors floating around that this one could end up with
dual clutch.
Yes.
From,
dual clutch.
From Porsche.
No, from the Ford GT.
Of course.
I think we're going to see stuff from the GT come down.
Yeah, trickle into these cars.
This is exactly what we're going to see in this.
I'm so excited about that. Just the picture alone, the wing and the set, the way they set up the way they set up the car, like you're saying, it's a blend between a Mustang and a Ford GT, and it's so sexy.
Go ahead,
I have two questions for you.
Okay? Yes.
Are you going to get yours manual? Let me finish the questions. Are you going to get yours manual or dual clutch if it's available? Okay. You personally, just for not matter, anything else matters.
I get it.
And for me, which is very value based and money based, and I have to be careful that do I get the manual or do I get the dual clutch? And I got Avi's opinion. I want to know your opinion.
I'd like to know Avi's opinion. I'm going to get the dual clutch if it's available for one simple reason. Mm-hmm. If I want the greatest manual car of all time, I'm just going to drive the Carrera GT instead. I know that I'm very lucky and fortunate, but that's my situation.
Okay.
I don't need a car that I can get, like, I need to get my manual out of my system, right? I want the fast.
Okay.
I want the cool.
Okay.
Now,
For your boy, if I came to you and I said, what do I do, Alejandro?
Can I just say something here? The Hellcat, the Challenger that came out with a manual, you can't fucking sell them anywhere. No one wants them.
You're right.
No one wants them. It's too much power in a manual car. And those are going to be about the same levels.
But let me tell you one thing.
My guess is, because when the Hellcat came out the first time, everyone thought that the manual was going to be the one to get. Everyone bought the manual. They sat there on eBay for months without anyone touching them. And the other ones were the ones that went.
Let me give you a little bit more information.
Yes.
Supposedly, this GT500 is supposed to be a track weapon as well. And it's not a loosey-goosey, so much power. It's going to be a perfectly balanced kind of... a vehicle. So would that sway you in possibly getting a manual?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Because I've driven and I've used Ford's transmission, the manual one, even though it's amazing and all that stuff, it doesn't compare to like a proper sequential gearbox, like a pretty good one, like a double clutch one.
Yeah.
And again, if I want to get my manual on, like, that's not the one car I'm going to pick out of the garage to go drive.
But also heritage-wise?
That's to me.
But heritage-wise on a Mustang, you know, like...
I understand that, but I'm, you know what type of guy I am.
Yeah.
Aside from a scumbag and a douchebag.
So Avi said.
What did he say? I want to know.
You get the manual.
Of course.
So this is what I would love to know.
Old school thinking versus.
I want to get Bo's opinion.
Oof.
That's going to be a huge opinion.
Bo's going to be like, I'll just buy both.
Looking at his warehouse, like he's going to have both.
Yeah. This one is going to be a fascinating decision. Do you go manual or do you go dual clutch? This is a big.
I don't know why anyone would go manual in these cars.
Can we take guesses on what Bo will do?
Yeah, buy four.
He's going to go both.
No.
He's going to both, and then there's going to be like a special manual that's automatic.
We ask him, which one are you going to do? We just put it flat out.
I'm going to say manual. He's old school. He loves like old school cars.
All right. Whatever Bo does, I'll do.
By the way, Bo's the CEO of Galpin. If you guys are wondering who Bo is that we're talking about.
Now that he's driven his Ford GT, if it has that same automatic transmission in it, I say he's going with the automatic gearbox.
I know, but the thing is, he does have space, a little bit of space to store some cars with a manual transmission too.
We'll make a hypothetical.
My thing is, I think he's going to go with manual. If you're going to ask him, what's the car that you're going to keep and savor forever?
Yes.
My guess is he's going to say manual.
Okay.
What's yours?
He's going automatic.
And I'd love to ask his dad too. That would be the ultimate. That would be the ultimate.
Yeah.
I would just love his opinion on that. This is a big decision.
I mean, this is a family that has been involved with Ford for so long and have like really a lot of the stuff that you see in today's market exists only because of these guys.
Yeah. And because of Bo's dad. Like, I want to talk to Bo's dad. I want to get his opinion on what do you think that they might put automatic transmission
in. I get intimidated. He's done too much with his life.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, like, absolutely.
Like that Galpin, everyone's like, oh, it's big corporation. That's a family owned business. It's just a family. It's crazy what they've done.
They've done so much for their own dealership, but they've also done so much for Ford as well.
That's like, what I'm saying.
They've really pushed the envelope for what Ford's doing, and they're a dealership that has always had their back. And I think that they're obviously in good graces with Ford, and they're going to be for a long time.
I'd say so.
However, there are other dealerships now that are not in good graces with Ford. And do you remember the John Cena?
I love where you're going with this.
You remember the whole John Cena thing?
You please bring it back to everyone? Yeah.
So John Cena was one of the fortunate ones who received an allocation for a Ford GT.
John Cena used to be a super massive wrestler, He's a huge personality. He's literally a wrestler, actor, personality.
Like he does it all. He's a megastar.
Yeah.
And
charming dude.
And he received an allocation for Ford GT. He signed the do not sell 2-year agreement.
He made a YouTube video on it.
made a YouTube video about it. And then he ultimately sold it. He sold it before the 2-year agreement. Actually, I think he sold it within like 3 months of receiving it.
Yep.
Or sooner. Well, he sold it to a dealership, and this dealership is just an exotic dealership. They're not like a branded type of thing. So that dealership received a call from Ford saying, do not sell this car. Once they got word that they're the ones that bought it from John Cena, they said, do not sell this car.
Because these guys also export a ton of cars, that dealership.
Exactly. They export a ton of cars. So they said, do not sell this car. The owner of the dealership said, no way, we're selling it. And, probably because he did have a buyer already lined up, ready to go, and he sold it. Oof. So he's arguing now, first off, so now Ford is suing that dealership. He's suing that dealership for the losses and everything. So aside from John Cena. So Cena's lawsuit is currently like on hold because they're trying to schedule a non-jury trial right now.
These guys got sued because they were warned. He's on breach of an agreement. We're suing him. If you sell this car, you're not respecting the process of what we're doing, and then we can sue you for interfering with it. And they did.
But this dealership is arguing, saying, well, we weren't aware of any documents that John Cena has signed, and they don't
which is reasonable, and they don't
apply to us. And the Ford actually requested not only for them to not sell the car, but to send the car back to them to Ford. And so here's the kicker. Nobody knows where this car is. The now owner is anonymous because he registered it in Montana.
And he doesn't want to be sued.
He doesn't want to be sued. Yeah. So they don't know where this car is. No one has seen it. Nobody knows what's going on with it. And so now they're assuming that more than likely it's been exported out of the States.
Can I tell you the play on this? Whoever this guy is should be a baller and not let anyone see it for 30 years and be like, boop, boop, in 30 absolutely. Years. In 30 years, be like, here it is.
Can you imagine? That'd actually be a great story.
But you should also be investing into John Cena's success, because the more successful that John Cena becomes...
By the way, no.
I'm not going to another movie, John Cena movie. I can't. Let me just
be completely clear here. No matter what happens, unless John Cena becomes a congressman or the president of the United States, and he truly helps the country in a very positive way,
that could happen.
The value will not be touched or faced by John Cena. Not for anything other than he's got nothing to do with cars.
True. He's not a car.
Someone told you this was Will Smith's, like, whatever, you'd be like, so?
Yeah.
How many times, like, have anyone, I can't say what brand is, but there's this car that they're trying to sell me. It's like a $1.7 million car.
Okay.
And a soccer player has it.
Okay.
And the guy selling it is, oh my God, this guy is the one who's got it. So you can only imagine the value that he brings to the table. And I go, to who?
right.
And he goes, oh, everyone is interested. I'm like, how come no one's buying it and you're still offering me the car at that crazy price? Just drop the price. Like, no one's going to pay you for the name, but they're obsessed with it.
Yeah.
No one will pay for the name. Unless you're a car guy and there's like a car reason to it. Like, that's when history happens with cars. Yeah. Or like an OJ Simpson, right?
Yeah.
Only when shit like that, iconic like that happens, that's when the car can go up in value.
Yeah.
What's so iconic about being sued by Ford? Nothing.
Nothing.
And also, can I bring up how incredibly Like, how good is Ford's grip on their cars?
They're doing very,
Ferrari
well.
Ferrari has nothing on Ford. They were beat on Le Mans by Ford. And they are beat, like they're being beat by actually producing the number of cars that they're going to say they're going to produce. Right. And the other one is
and super control of everything.
But I think it's also important to remember is that their company is within a country where they actually have the ability to quickly move with, you know, lawsuits and judgments. And like, it's all based here. Ferrari, like it's a little more difficult
internationally
legally, laying down the hammer on them, and Ford also has way more resources.
Oh yeah, they're really a humongous company. Get out of here.
Yeah, they have way more.
But it's really impressive to me that Ford does not deal with these type of cars, and they're doing such an epic job. Like the car that went at Mecum, because there was one that just sold.
I was just about to bring that up, yep.
They offered me that car before it went out for sale. Wow. And I said, there's no way I'm buying this car because Ford's going to sue them.
The heat on it.
Yeah.
I'm paying for it. And that second, my money's going to be frozen. Also, they won it around 1.6.
They got 1.65 2 minutes at the auction.
At 1.6, I was like, no, I'm out. Like, I'll do a million. And then there's like another car, whatever, that I'm looking at. It's like 1.35. So it's coming there, whatever. But the thing is, whatever Ford did, he's working because I'm scared.
But
I don't want to buy it. Even if I get it at a million, I'm not going to buy it now because I'm scared that Ford's going to be like, you can't use this car. Thank you for paying a million. Fuck you.
Yeah. The fear that they've instilled is incredible. But it also, like, seeing what it's done to the prices of this vehicle as well.
But they're going
to
do another round of it, most likely.
Look, I get it. But look what people are buying these illegally.
on the gray market.
This is so cool that we live in an era where the black market is for like a super high-end car. This guy can't buy the car.
Hey, man, you got a Ford GT. You got a Ford GT.
I need my GT.
That was the John Cena car. Like, everyone knew that he was getting it. And before, I don't know if John had anything to do with it, which I'm guessing not, because a lot of people do this. Everyone expected him to sell the car. So they were offering the car before. Like, yeah.
All right, may I make a suggestion for Mr. Cena? And I don't mean to disrespect him in any way.
Yeah, because he's huge.
Yeah, he's very big. If this ever happens again, he should do a title loan. It's where you give your title to the, and they give
No, Mr. Cena. If this happens again, you buy the car with a company and then you sell the company.
Sell the company.
That's the trick for all
of
these.
No, you can't. No, because the title loans need the, not the title.
Why do you need a title loan?
Doesn't he need money? Didn't he need money or something? That's why he sold it?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I was thinking he needed money. I'm sorry.
But he could have pulled the money on that. You're right.
Actually, at the time, he was like about to get married. So I'm sure he needed money for his wedding to pay for the
whole thing. If he pays you an extra $1 million just for your wedding, wouldn't you take it?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
So we were just talking about Ferrari as well and how they have a lack of grip on their owners. Something else.
Lack of grip is a great word.
Something that I also feel like that they don't really have a grip on is these one-offs that they're doing. Did you guys see this SP38?
It's the most, I want to say, Farshad, what you say when you saw that car?
First, I thought it was a Sergio. I was like, Sergio?
But then you saw the back. Didn't you say you loved it?
The back of that car is one of the most beautiful backs I've ever seen on a car, my opinion.
And by the way, in case you guys are a little lost here, so Ferrari unveiled a one-off car called the SP38. It's the only version that they're going to make of it. Ferrari's started doing this quite a lot recently where they're doing
One-off programs. Yeah. So you call Ferrari and you tell them, hey, Ferrari, I would like to waste $3.5 million in a 488. Exactly. Just a regular 488 with a different body. And they'll be like, I can help you with that. So then they built that for $3.5 million. You can get a 488 with a different body from Ferrari, or you can go anywhere else and get a clay made. Either way, doesn't matter. But I think what the incredible point about this car is that looks like a Lamborghini.
Yeah, the back.
That's why it looks so good. I love the way it looks. I was like, why the fuck do I like this so much? It looks just like a Lamborghini.
That shocks me though that you guys feel that way, because I think that it looks just like a Rimac. I think it looks just the C2.
It also looks like the C2, but because the C2 is in gray.
What is the car called, buddy? What is that car called?
The SP38.
And how much is it?
$3.5 million.
That's fucked up, dude. Yeah. That much money and that's the name?
They couldn't even come up with like...
Is it like, give me another 200 like, grand?
What about Fabrizio, the Ferrari Fabrizio? The other one got a name fucking Sergio.
I'd be like, dude, give me any generic Italian name. Well,
I'm sure the SP is for the initials of the owner, and the 38 is the 3.8 million that he spent on the car.
That could actually be like... That could actually
that's
be
a pretty good guess, right?
I know, but wouldn't you want like an Italian name? Give me like, what's it, a generic Italian? Yeah. Give me something. Give me
Fabrizio.
Antonio. Give me Antonio.
Fabrizio. Antonio. Hey. I agree.
Give me some shoulder. Give me something.
They did even the Sergio, and the Sergio doesn't sound as Italian. Why can they do the Geppetto?
One day. The Geppetto. One day when I'm mega paid, I'm going to go to Ferrari, get one of these made, and make the CEO do a shoulder roll as he gives me the keys.
Hey,
and we're getting close. Look what I did with the Bentley.
Can I say something? You are getting very, very close to that. No question about it. But if we were doing that, I'd recommend you giving $200,000 to someone to just do the body outside and then pay the Ferrari CEO $500,000 to do just do that. Okay, he'll do it for the money.
We'll bring him at a party. We'll just make him go like this.
He'll do it for the money. Yeah.
No, you just have to go to an unveiling. You have to go to an unveiling.
You
get to a private showcase with them. I'm sure he'll do anything to say,
sell your car.
He's probably going to buy a car. I better do the shoulder roll for him.
I would do anything to be in a discovery meeting with him as if I'm going to do it and have one camera and just go through the crazy, like, I'd be like, hey, like, I need something for the seats to make them like this.
I mean, people do Persian poses for a sale. Come on.
I'd be like, I need leather that can withstand this.
And the guy's like, let me try.
and then I'd be like, here, you sit in here.
Yes. I'm sorry. We're totally losing our minds here. I'm sorry, everyone.
This is great.
I want to apologize for whatever's going on.
So unlimited money in your wallet. Would you ever go down the road of doing a one-off like this?
Not from Ferrari.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going with a one-off, to be honest with you right now, I'd say Lamborghini.
Really?
Does Lambo do one-offs?
They don't, but look at their 20. Like, their Centenarios are really well-built. Like, they're beautiful cars. They were only $2 million compared to, like, a $3 million BC that they said they were going to make 20 coupes, and they're, like, at 45, right? Like, there's value in these Centenarios. Like, I never thought I'd be saying this. I was talking to Nick.
Yeah.
Nick, they want to buy he wants to buy a Centenario, and he wants to buy these other cars, and the Centenario actually was really low on his list. And I called him and I was like, what do you think about the Centenario being so special? Because Pagani made 20 BCs for 3 million, and then they ended up making whatever amount of BCs that they've made. Like, and the car doesn't perform. It doesn't have all the cool things that the Centenario has, like an Aventador S, because it's all the Lamborghini shit behind it.
Right.
And he goes, now that you put it that way, I feel really stupid for not getting one.
Yeah.
I was like, right? I kind of feel really stupid too.
But you think
not over 2 million?
Okay, like that's
whatever prices there are right now, like the Ford. No,
yeah, okay, that's
no, because then you can buy a weird Koenigsegg or a weird Pagani if you just want to do this, right?
Yeah.
But at 4 million, no, I don't think there's a market for reselling those cars either, like the Paganis and all that stuff. Anyone can call Horatio and be like, "Hey, make me a car that's yellow with green interior," and he'll do it. If you're a rich dude, why would you buy something that someone else did?
Do you think Mate would do that?
What?
Coach work?
I mean, like, just if you came to him with a lot of money, and just say, hey, I want a car. Like, I want a Bugatti, but with your guts. Like, do you think he would do something like that?
I don't know. And also, Rimac is changing tremendously fast because of all the amazing stuff that's happening to them. So I do not know where they at right now with that.
Yeah.
I'd love to go see them.
I know. I really do too. I want to go see that. I honestly, like, everything I've heard about Croatia, I want to go.
I know, me too.
Yeah. It sounds like a great party.
But going back to your Ferrari, it does look like a Lamborghini, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. At $3.5 million for a 488 that it's not even a pista, guts.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that, but the design is beautiful. Beautiful.
But you know what? You actually are doing kind of a one off on your own. Right now you're doing a one-off Raptor, which will eventually become like
a one of 25, you know,
a one
or
of 25.
Whatever,
yes. So it's a kind of a special edition Raptor on your own.
That's
Is that going to be, hold on. Is that going to be prototype number one, or is that going to be official one?
This is going to be number one.
This is number one.
Number one. We don't do prototypes.
You
know what? I don't need to do press vehicles because we don't need the press.
Like a pre-production.
Now I do have a very important question.
Yes.
moving forward? Are these going to be built on the 19 Ford Raptor or the 18 Ford Raptor?
If they have a V8, I'm going to fucking go bananas. Is this about the V8?
No. This is the one that everyone kept telling us that he was going to have a V8. So what's
No, you didn't answer my question first. You didn't answer my question.
We're going to do
19s. Okay, 19s. There you go.
It's the same thing. Thank God. And why it's the same thing, buddy? Please explain to everyone what's so new about the 2019 Raptor and why everyone is talking about it.
Okay, so the 2019 Ford Raptor, there was a lot of excitement, a lot of rumors coming in hot for a long time. Everybody said, oh, they're going to go back to the V8. I'm one of those people.
It's going
to
be 8 liters. No, it's going to be 9.
They were going to go back with the 6.7 liter V8.
Just 7.1.
Yeah.
They talked about
whatever. Yeah. They were going to come in hot with that. And I was all in for it. I was like, this is what they're definitely going to do. And nope. The engine pretty much stayed the same. Everything else,
appreciation.
The bodywork stayed the same. There's a new suspension, like a new Fox Racing suspension in it. Yeah,
they had a little variation. They add electronics to it. So like the car now knows when it's midair. Knows when it's in the air. Stiffens the shocks when you.
Yep.
So when you land, it's nice.
Yep. It's nice.
Some new Recaro seats, which I think some people enjoy them. I'm not a big fan of those seats.
I didn't go nuts over them.
Yeah.
I like that you can put color in them, but not.
But we haven't felt them though. That's all about. It's a seat. We have to.
Yeah. Even our seats are shit. Like I'm not a fan of our seats. Yeah, that's why I'm changing. That's why I'm making a point on it. The seats on the Raptor. Yeah. They look like plastic. This is why you need like the extra layer of like plushy on that car.
Yeah.
Because in such a big, beautiful cabin, it would be a waste not to do that.
Yeah, but here's one feature in the 19 Raptor that completely blew my mind. I could not believe this because even something as expensive as a Mercedes-Benz 4x4 square did not have cruise control.
Oh, yeah, so we know all about that.
So this 19 Ford Raptor not only has highway cruise control, it also has off-road cruise control.
Now, why? How? Why? Where?
Convenience?
Where have you just went off-roading now?
So they call it trail control. And so you activate it at speeds from 1 to 20 miles an hour. Because, you know, like in your normal highway cruise control, like you can't really activate it until I think it's after 15, 20 miles an hour.
Something like that.
At least that's what it is in Expedition. Yeah, now. Well, this, like if you're just crawling kind of through the desert or rock crawling or whatever, if you don't want to leave your foot on the gas, you can just activate your trail control and just...
You know what this means, guys? We're getting one step closer to autonomous off-roading.
That's going
to
be incredible. Hey, Tommy, you want to go off-roading?
Yeah.
You double-click your Tesla or your fucking truck.
And so we start talking. So, Tommy, how you been?
It's going to be like having a conversation in a roller coaster. Incredible.
So I know both of you were very excited about this, right?
Non-V8?
The non-V8, right?
Oh, hell yeah. And also, by the way, I'm just excited that I was... common sense prevailed and if Ford invested so much money in the Ford GT and its engine that they were not going to go back. That doesn't make any sense. So for the future, we have that reference. That's what made me really happy.
I understand. 10 years down the road, we're going to watch a documentary about like the last minute decision not to go with the fully developed 7.1.
I understand, but there's so many people that have talked about it. It's not just that it's eco-friendly. It's that all of these engines now are being built to beat the emissions test in a different way. It's not that they're more efficient. It's actually they're just being built in a way that it just beats the test. So people were saying, oh, well, you know, more than likely because that's the case, we can go back to the V8, you know, like bigger, better, louder.
Well, Parker was telling us there's something about the twin turbos and the turbos, the way the emissions they output with those tests. They're passing with flying colors where the VA might struggle or whatever it is. Yeah. But like it's with the turbos and the displacement stuff.
I mean, look, by the time that GT500 comes out, we're going to see that damn big V8 engine in a Raptor. It's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back. And that's not the only thing that's coming back, boys. That's not the only thing that's coming back.
Oh, boy.
You remember several podcasts ago?
Yeah.
We were talking about the Dodge Viper.
Yeah.
How can we forget?
Yeah.
I think you were on my side, but Farshad, I'm pretty sure that you said the Viper's dead, never coming back, and boom, boom, boom. Guess who's knocking on the door?
Why?
Dodge Viper.
Can I say something? At this point, it's getting old, right?
Like, no,
it's
gotten no, old. Not the not, Viper's not, a legend.
Not, what's not old? The Viper. The we'll kill it. It's coming back. We'll kill it. Yeah, it's coming back.
I hear
it's,
you.
It's
I,
the, yeah. No, no, you guys. It's the same thing as an athlete, like a boxer
and by
retiring.
The way, this is not confirmed. This is this was a publication by that shitty magazine originally. That
this is premature ejaculated news.
That's right. That's what right? it is. So let us be clear about that. This could be a complete bullshit story.
It also could be gathering in from market but, information.
But it could absolutely be that. And to me, I do see them doing another Viper. Yep. Why would you? And yeah. We talked about this because we were talking about licensing the name.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. I thought you think they're just going to let that name go.
Yeah, of course.
Because we were talking about the like, for example, there was a small brand called Vector back in the day.
I love Vector.
You do love Vector.
I and love you're like, Vector.
Oh, what can we get if we license that name? There's nothing to it. But right. if you license a name like Viper, you can put it on any car. Even if you make like a pickup truck that's fast as shit, or with like Shelby lines, you can call it the Viper Raptor.
Or you can do like
people
minivan.
Go like, whoa. Like
the Viper option on the minivan.
and you know, like it's dope. Like the name goes with it. So why would they let that lapse and collapse? I mean, it's obvious they were going to come back. But why can't they just say, guys, we're retiring the Viper in its current state, the way it exists right now, and we're going to make something completely different. But then you read this article and it says that they're planning on bringing it back with a V8 and a 7.1 liter engine, right?
What's this? Yeah. What's with the fucking 7 liter?
And yet again,
powered by a second generation Hellcat.
And what's with the obsession? Also, what's with the obsession of naturally aspirated engines? They're so slow. Like they rev so slow. Their torque comes in like so late.
But there's no turbo lag.
But it doesn't matter. You get like a
bug. Yeah, guys, but remember, didn't Trump just come in and like delay some of the CAFE standard
regulations?
Oh, dude,
Trump came in and...
You delay some of that, all these guys are like, let's do it again, boys. But, here we go.
Guys, what should we do? 5 liter? 6 liter? 7? Fuck it, 7.
Why? And also, why can they just go electric and just scratch it? Like, just change it.
I love how everyone's going electric and they're going to see how much more displacement we can put in this V8.
And also, they destroyed completely that market for that ACR. Like, I really thought that ACR was going to go down in history. Like, wow, they killed it. This was the best Viper by a lot and all that stuff. And now that there's a 4GT, these guys are coming back with a new Viper that kind of reads it's going to be the same shit.
It's going to be a fluffy Corvette-y type of...
Again. And again, it might be fast, but how uncomfortable was the ACR?
By the way, this is not going to be an ACR...
No, they'll have an ACR variant. It's going to saying is they're going to start out with a Roadster and then a coupe will shortly follow. And then once that second generation Hellcat engine is out, that'll
come. Do you see the
ACR
problem
format.
From the beginning?
What's
they're going to start with a Roadster
and then end up with a 4-door family sedan. the you know, the product planning.
And then Viper is going to branch out to be its own thing. There's going to be Viper dealership. Yeah.
Hey don't Viper minivan. I'm in. I'm in on the Viper ACR VA.
I don't think Tammy's gonna let you do that.
Hey, we'll see. We'll see who's pulling the strings then.
Do you think that
Father's Day's coming up pretty soon? You see how spry I am.
Do you think when this article came out, obviously there's other articles, people called Dodge dealerships and were like, hey, what's the story? What's the story? And then I think that gets translated back to Dodge.
You know what's great? Is I'm sure that there's some shady dealerships taking deposits today.
Buddy, that is
no question.
It's happening, man.
Buddy, after this, we're going to record some calls.
Okay.
To Dodge dealerships.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Wow. We're going to call like hillbilly like Dodge dealers. Oh my God, this is going
to
be great.
And by the way, the article ends with, to keep purists happy, a manual transmission will also be available.
I'm sorry. I'm out.
Hey, I'm putting order. Hey, I have a question. If they take orders, you are you in?
No, I can't. I cannot read.
What are you doing?
You cannot read.
Hang on, poor guy. You're trying to sell me on the same shit as the other.
Listen. If they take orders, you're going to be. I don't want you to be 7 or 15 anymore.
No,
you're be number one guy.
I can't read any more of this. Like, like the same story over and over again. Like this Viper story we read five years ago.
I'm done. Hey, man. This January, the Detroit Auto Show. This is the 30th anniversary of when they unveiled the concept for the original Viper,
which they're saying, by the way, they're going to unveil 2019 Detroit show. So again, another irrelevant on irrelevant. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Why
everybody loves
going?
Coincidences? Yeah.
By the way, I can't get.
You're terrible today, motherfucker.
Why?
Because you're siding with those guys.
No, I'm enjoying it. This is great.
By the way, I can't give any details, but us three have been in the presence of the most legendary Viper that you can possibly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
No, we can talk about it. They just said
we can't say who. We can't say who. No. Owned it. We can't say who owned it.
Of course. But all it says was don't take pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Okay.
It's true.
Okay.
There's Viper, and let's not say where. Yeah. Let's not say where. But we saw Viper 1.
Yeah. The other day, Viper 1.
001.
I can't say who was owned by a fucking legend.
So Ivan, the question is, would you pay extra for Viper 001?
Owned by a legend.
Like, for example, like those Vipers are like $25,000 right now. But would you?
Yeah.
Hang on.
Ivan's behind the camera.
Hang on. But would you pay more for the first Viper ever made?
I mean, sure. Yeah, sure.
There's some value to it.
Like, No. There's two layers of values to this car. First layer is its number, serial number one.
Yeah.
And then second one is who owns it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one is.
Ooh. I look up the plate for you if I'm going to sell you the car.
Ivan's like, I'd rather pay the $20,000.
By the way, the car's going to go on auction, Ivan, in case you're wondering. So maybe we'll take you.
Could you see Ivan rolling up? And then I really could.
I know.
I could see Ivan in this one. Yeah.
Do you like the Viper?
With that red shirt that you have.
You like Vipers? You can get them for like $15,000-$20,000. Do you want one?
No. You're not going to do that.
He doesn't drive like that. He does not drive like
that. You're
not
going to give that. By the way,
can I share with you guys something? So,
for your own sake,
I'm really hoping that this happens. I'm hoping that this rumor is prematurely ejaculated by Farshad and that it births and comes to life. I really do.
Okay,
and then what's going to happen to the kid, to the Viper?
Hold on.
Who's going to keep it, Farshad or?
Hold on, buddy. This is very simple. We're on a medium. We're on a platform that reaches a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Everyone, call your Dodge dealer and inquire about the new Viper.
Yeah.
And you could start the buzz. I'm being serious.
Oh, yeah. And let us know if someone's going to take deposits.
Yeah, I would let you guys call Dodge dealers.
That would be ridiculous.
Yeah. I would love that. and if it's a couple grand deposit, Alejandro will pay it.
What? No.
For the skit.
Nope.
For the content.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What you, the fuck? You remember back... So the ACR that you had back then...
the blue.
We were speculating that was going to be one that was going to be on the verge of appreciation because, you know, it was, you know, ending the line and everything else. I mean,
it was the greatest form of it.
And is that price for that one still holding?
No, I actually haven't checked the price, but now if they're really doing this, they completely, and also again, they're going with I'm going to build the same car, naturally aspirated, manual transmission, long hood. It's going to burn you when you come out of the car. You can't fit with a fucking helmet in.
Like, ooh, I did get burned in that all the time.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they're making the same car again. Why would the old one appreciate?
Right. By the way, cut to in 2020, the car comes out. By then, the whole culture of everything is like less fuel, electricity, and
everyone just looks at it like they're disgusting.
Here's an 8-liter V8 rumble.
Everyone's like, "What have you done, man?" I don't know why everyone in the future talks like this, man.
I'm pretty sure we know who owns this car.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I remember that ACR. Go on.
170.
Go on. No, but that's what they're...
No, that's a high
one. So they went up,
They're anywhere between 140 and 170.
So they went up a little bit, dude.
Yeah.
They actually went up because they were selling back in the day for 130. So we were right about that.
I'm sorry, what's the range?
140 to 170.
That's great.
They really went up.
That's great.
But the problem they're going to have now is if they really make this car moving forward.
But you know what I think it's going to be, though? Do you agree the ACR was a very analog car?
But they're making the same shit. Like they're
That's going to be
the ACR has traction control and all that stuff. It's the same thing.
But,
and also the ACR, it's just a race car dressed like a street car.
But it's a analog car. Do you agree it's an analog car?
I promise you, the new one's going to be considered equally as analog based on what they're saying. Do you agree that's going
to
be
based on what they're saying? Is like it's a purist car. They want it to be another track machine like that. That's what it is. And that's also how Dodge is going to keep, you know, the cost down as much as possible for one production and then also for consumers.
Why can Dodge just jump into the 4GT thing and make a good car?
Because they're owned by FCA and...
They could pull a fucking old 458 chat, whatever it is, like, and create something special. You're in the club with Ferrari, like you're in the family.
No, Ferrari rolled away. They IPO'd. Yeah, Ferrari spun off in 2016.
Those motherfuckers are always leaving everyone standing in a weird, awkward position.
So speaking of like the ACR was on the verge of appreciation back then, and it's actually done pretty good.
Yeah.
You were mentioning that there was another car that's on the verge of appreciation, and I think we've all been excited about this one for a little bit since getting back from New York.
Yeah, I think the Urus is on the verge of appreciation.
Yeah, I do too.
And for 6 months, this car is going to be the hottest fucking thing on earth.
Okay, now do you want to put your name on one?
No.
I think you should put your name on one. I mean, no. Just put your name on one.
Honestly, if I could, I would.
Yeah, look at me. If you don't have to put a deposit, we're having the same GT500.
No, hang on. I don't have good friends at Lamborghini dealerships. I have great friends like Brian, but I still have to pay deposits.
Well, can you say how much a deposit is?
Normally 50 grand for every Lamborghini.
If I talk to Brian and there's no deposit on one, will you put your name on it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. We're getting Urus's, boys.
Yeah, you can put my name anywhere.
The Urus, he'll give you the we'll get you one, and then they'll come and you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but
also Brian owes me a favor.
I don't want to hold on to that car for no reason. Although it's one of the most.
I'm curious. You don't want to put your name on one, yet you do see that this is one that's on the verge of appreciation early. I'm curious of what do you see in this car?
I'm making more money on other things.
No, I understand that. What I'm asking you is what do you see in this car that is going to cause it to appreciate, yet you're just kind of still.
So the immediate demand is going to be insane. Like, so this is going to be a play for whoever gets one within the first 2 months. Those guys are always going to do well. Anyone beyond that, they're at the mercy of Lamborghini's overproduction nightmare.
Mercy, I see what you did there.
And also,
you did it. Thank you.
And just so we're clear, on this car, that production, there's no like stopping that production line.
Oh no,
it's full speed ahead.
Absolutely.
I mean, if Lamborghini was able to destroy the Performante's value by overproducing the Performante, which is at the best car they've ever made, hands down, like. Production regular car that they've ever made, the Performante is that, and they've managed to overproduce the car to the point where every dealer has one or two.
Yeah, they have one. By the way,
what makes you think they're not? Which, by the way, that's exactly in the verge of depreciation.
But did you know that
the Performante?
Oh, the Performante, because the new Spider's coming out.
I saw Paul driving the new Performante Spider in Europe. He's like, "Oh, this car is amazing!" And at that moment, I texted Tommy and I was like, "Please unwrap my car. I'm going to sell it."
You know what's amazing? I found out every Lamborghini dealership has an actual Performante demo.
Do they really?
No, it's a joke. Oh, like that extra. I thought you would get the joke. Like
because I believe that. No, I believe that.
Can I drive a Performante? Yes, here's our demo.
Yeah, here's our demo. And also, you can buy it. Well, we have more. We all have five demos of each.
And also, you get a loaner. They're loaner. They have loaner cars.
They have loaner Performantes. I'm telling you, Lamborghini had a great thing going with the Aventador when the Aventador came out. No one could get one. They were fetching over sticker and sticker for a year. But do you remember why? Because they couldn't produce the cars.
Yeah.
That's when they were expanding their shop, their carbon fiber factory, into the other place. And because they were cut short, the cars like went up in price. Lamborghini does not give a shit about price. They want to see how many units they can move. Let's call it a day.
Let's just not forget. At the end of the day, they are a factory that produces cars.
I know, but if you're making something special, that's like your brand's.
My friend, that's when.
Because they should sell a billion Huracans.
I know, but the thing is, that's when like Mr. Lamborghini was in charge, and now it's like shareholders and stocks. And,
I know.
But it's also, remember, they were. Their company was built on the principle of making sure that if somebody wants an awesome supercar, they can have it, right? They didn't want to go the Ferrari route.
The Ferrari route, which was so cocky and obnoxious.
So we're going to make sure that you have the ability to get one of these if you truly want it.
And if you
want to, you're Alejandro.
But you're saying...
Can I just say, every Lamborghini dealership in LA can go fuck itself. I couldn't get an SVJ. I couldn't get a Performante. Nothing from these guys. Nothing.
Not even from the rental fleet? Nothing?
Nothing. 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 We had to go to... I mean, it's not a bad thing that I'm actually doing business with Brian. Fucking, he's the man.
How dope that you get to get your cars from Manhattan. How dope is
No. Let me tell you. Like, to me, that means so much more than just buying the car from here. Yeah. But the fucked up thing is, I've gotten Aventadors from here. Like, from companies that were like, no, I'm not telling you that.
But it's about... the relationships and I love that we have a great relationship with Brian because he truly does care.
Yeah.
He wants to make sure that you have the best experience possible.
He wants his customers to be happy. He's an old school businessman.
And he doesn't give a shit about the politics.
Yeah. He's not in it for the car show. No, no. He's an old school businessman that wants his guys to be fucking taken care of, and he'll do anything for them. Absolutely. And that's what I love and appreciate about Brian.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And he's shown that time over and over and over.
He really is a handshake guy.
Yeah, he is.
You can do a handshake deal with that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt. So you were saying the Performante Spider is on, or the Performante is on the verge of depreciation.
It is.
I know you say that.
It
is. But me personally, because of the Urus, I see the G-Wagon being on the verge of depreciation. And the reason I say that, I think that G-Wagon owners, these women in Beverly Hills and in Century City, I think they're going to the Urus.
The best case study that we could possibly make, we have it at home.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're going to get Belen off that G-Wagon for the Lamborghini truck.
Buddy, the one thing I've seen from women driving these is they do enjoy the rough, rugged, army-like feel of it.
It's really fucking weird. It's like an accessory.
They're in it for that.
We'll see. But my gut opinion on this is the Urus is going to take over. I think this is the one.
Does Belen have a heavy foot with her AMG?
You don't need a heavy foot for this.
But that's my question. Does she have a heavy foot?
Not really.
Okay, because another problem I see with the Urus is going to be that it might freak some woman out.
Because you're not used to cars like that. Belen freaks out when she drives like the fast cars, like the Challenger.
All of a sudden, you're putting someone in a car that's 0-60 in 3.5 seconds.
Yeah, it feels fucked up.
That could also be a weird thing. That could also backfire too, that part of it.
I hear you. I mean, but the G63 was, you know,
It's a bullet.
I know, but as well,
that's 0-60 like 5 seconds.
Yeah,
that's a huge difference. 3.5 seconds, like a huge difference.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not feeling that the Urus is going to come in and take over the G-Wagon's market. But I want to see,
and especially if the new G-Wagon is refined and
that's so you're talking about the G73, right?
No, but we should talk about the G73.
So you're just talking about the new interior of the new G-Wagon.
Yeah.
So can you get me caught up on the G73? I don't know anything about it.
So Mercedes,
but I keep hearing you talking about it.
So it's not just about the G. Mercedes in general is going to put up another tier above their 63s and 65s, right? Yeah. And they're going to call it the 73s. They're also going to make a smaller tier of them, 53s.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Right?
The 53 is below the 63s.
Became the 53.
Correct.
Now the 63.
This is so good. Do I need to write that?
Hang on. 63 remain 63.
63.
65 will be the V12, although Mercedes is thinking about killing those V12s, right? That's what we read?
Yeah.
So that could explain why the 73 will be born. The 73 will be based on that same powertrain that the new four-door super fast car. So that means the you're going to have your V8 twin turbo. And on top of that, you're going to have a hybrid power plant that's going to push the car at the same level. So these cars are going to have 800 horsepower.
Yeah. And by the
800 horsepower in a G-Wagon with instant torque.
And I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface of
nothing.
Because you're pulling 800 from a regular V8 now, right? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Easy, by the way.
I just feel like some guy with a computer is going to go in there and be like, beep, boop, boop, boop. Now you have 1,000 horsepower.
It's like, when is too much power, though? Like,
I think that's now.
No. You can't say that, Alejandro. You cannot say that because Teslas are coming out with
horsepower in the thousands. No, that feels horrible.
But that's a great question. When do we stop this? Where do we stop
now?
Why do you need that much power? What's the purpose of it?
So, by the way,
tell me.
Right now, it's because oh my God, 800 horsepower? Yeah, I want that.
No. I understand the want. I'm talking about the need. When do you need that much power?
The Rimac, the Concept One, how horrible did it feel when every time you punched it? Yeah. Did you get on it?
No, I never drove the Rimac. I was only in a passenger seat.
I'm serious. It feels horrible. Like you can't, your brain cannot process.
Yeah.
Going from 0 or 20 miles an hour to 100 miles an hour in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Your brain is not getting used to the speed. It's like when you get on the freeway, you know how at first you feel like, oh, let me get used to the traffic as I merge in. It's because your brain's not used to the speed that everyone's coming. Once you're there at 70 miles an hour, you're like, okay, everyone's going slow now.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel fast. This, you're throwing so much power at people that have never asked for it.
Yeah, exactly. And also
never.
And also
never.
Nothing, but so Hellcats are in the 700s. So AMG can't be under, like, that's why we're,
I get
why,
that. I get that.
And also when the Hellcat, next generation Hellcat is 900 horsepower, AMG has to come out with an 1100
horsepower. They're too fast, man.
But how much horsepower Okay, I'm thinking about the Rimac, okay, yeah. and how it has, and also the Tesla Roadster, how it has that instant torque, yeah, right?
That'll
okay.
be it.
How much horsepower in a twin turbo or a supercharged engine do you need to give you that same instant torque feel, like shooting off like a rocket?
I don't,
like,
unless you have battery assist, you'll never have
no.
that.
No, so why do they keep trying and pushing forward with that much horsepower, because you're not utilizing it. You're never going to utilize that much. Well,
when they're using it with a hybrid powertrain, and they can do torque vectoring to the millisecond yeah. on each wheel, for example,
yeah.
you can get better results on all of that, and you can take advantage more of that. But on the road, there's not enough road for yeah. you to step on the gas for more than 3 seconds anymore.
Yeah, correct.
And that's not fun.
Yeah.
And also, that's really yeah. fucking dangerous.
Exactly.
And at some point, and I guarantee you, within a year or two, the government's going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Why are you getting to like 100 miles an hour so fast? This yeah. is dangerous for people.
Yep.
And they're going to put a stop to this. Yep. And I think also the next war that we're going to have, forget about aero, forget about weight, because we've already conquered those, and we're definitely going at a steady pace on those, right?
Yeah.
But the next war we're going to have is against physics, tires.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's the limit.
This is the new one that's coming up. When Porsche said years ago, we're just going to do weight reduction, we're going to focus on this, yeah. they were absolutely right.
Yeah.
What's the next step? Tires. Your tires, homie.
Yeah.
Physics. How can you put 800 horsepower instantly to push yeah. and no wheel spin?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the day Koenigsegg figures is out, their car is going to be yeah, legendary.
Yeah. yeah. And look, I don't mean to be Captain No Fun here and like just say, oh, you know, we need to like cut back on the horsepower and limit ourselves. I'm not saying that at all.
No.
I'm bringing that up because like a G-Wagon, there's no sense in having 800 horsepower.
But that makes the most sense, putting 800 horsepower in a G-Wagon, because then it'll feel like a, you know, the GT3. do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but no, because of the center of gravity being so fucked up and all this. But
I mean, I could also see like if you're using it in, you know, some sort of tow capacity and yeah. you know need a lot of power
for
I get that, but
yeah. but also, buddy, marketing work. Look,
of course,
no, we know.
But I understand the value of diving into somebody's want. I'm strictly talking about the need. Like, where is the yeah. need for it?
And
there's none. It's not fun to have these cars that are so fast. The 720, you accelerate on it for like 3 seconds, literally like this.
I love when the number thing
and the number just keeps going up to 150 miles an hour, yeah. just with you stepping on it a little bit.
Yeah.
On mm-hmm. the street, you can't use it. On the track, there's not enough straight for you to use
yeah.
it.
Like, yeah.
I promise you, the day your average AMG, we go down to Beverly Hills Mercedes, your average AMG is 1,000 horsepower. That will be the time where they will have sold the most AMGs ever.
Yeah, when they can say we put 1,000 horsepower.
How much is an average AMG lease payment?
Let's say $1,000.
Okay. When your dentist has 1,000 horsepower under his feet, like
your dentist.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
and they will.
Like, yeah, for $1,000 a month.
No, yeah, that's going to be the. But the thing is, also car ownership and all that stuff is going to disappear yeah. by the time these cars come out with that horsepower.
Yeah,
this is like a weird.
By the way, you're going to go in the AMG.
We're going full speed ahead into something that has no market.
Yeah,
yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I just never thought about that until now.
They have to, though.
I know, but what's going to happen?
By the way, I think it's going to happen.
this is not good.
Buddy's going to go get his AMG, and they're going to be like, how much horsepower would you like, sir? He's like, I'm fine with 530.
And then they're going to charge.
Hey, that's not the only thing I'm going to be able to do when I'm picking out my AMG. Apparently, I can also go in and pick out what Maybach accessories I want to get on my car as well, right?
That is going to be the new thing.
We have these conversations all the time, especially like how Farshot compares like a, you know, whenever you see a dentist driving this or a hairstylist driving this, you know, you've made it to a certain level.
Right.
Now it's Maybach. Prior to it was AMG. Oh, do you have AMG floor mats? Do you have AMG wheels? Now do you have Maybach visors and makeup mirrors?
But the ultimate Maybach is what? The T-set.
Okay, so hang on. Hang on a second. Maybach for a while was a standalone company that worked with Mercedes and AMG, obviously. And together they made like the most luxurious cars ever. So they were like the competition for Rolls-Royce. Maybach failed like crazy, tremendously failed. And then Mercedes absorbed them and said, I'm going to Maybach a few of my cars, like the S-Class and then the G Landaulet. And they did. They might back the interior. So that means they only got a plusher interior. To be honest with you, there's nothing else, right?
Right.
And obviously you get a V12 from Mercedes, so it's the same thing as buying a 65.
Yeah.
So you're just getting this beautiful interior. But I never thought it was worth for the S-Class, for example. The Maybach badge.
The upgrade.
Do you think it's worth
it? No, no.
So now Maybach and Mercedes, and this is a rumor, obviously, that I've heard from a really good source, have agreed that, you know what? Why don't we just Maybach pretty much anything that's not like super low level?
Just make it a trim level.
Like that's what they're doing, making it at a trim level. But I think in here, there's a fine line that Maybach and Mercedes are walking, right? If you make this just a Maybach treatment like it is today, and you're charging the amount of money that you're charging,
which we came to was about $25,000.
You're going to fail miserably because you're not getting the extras inside of the car. It looks like any other Mercedes.
No, and the test case that we saw this with was this Maybach Cabriolet.
Yeah.
That we saw, like, I think this is when they decided they were going to make that decision. They can't have a standalone Maybach product anymore.
That looks like the other products.
Exactly. So what they're doing is, like, now this is going to be trim options, right? This is going to be the ability to, you know, add a more luxurious
but hang on.
Feel to it.
You're laughing at the floor mats, but I wish they put the floor mats that a Rolls-Royce puts in their cars.
Hey, we may get that now.
But that's what I'm hoping that Maybach and Mercedes do together.
Just be opulent. Just be like...
be disgusting. I want you to think rap music video for life.
Yeah.
I want to get in that car and see pop mirrors and lights that I've never seen. Yeah, yeah. And I want an ass shaking in front of me just because of how plush that fucking shit is.
Honestly, what I wanted... I wish Maybach was back to being a standalone company. I don't want it to be an S-Class with a Maybach logo or anything on it. I want the body of the car. Like, it's fine if it's built on an S-Class chassis.
What?
Those two birds are fighting.
Yeah, they are.
I'm sorry.
Hey, I want to go back to where, like, this body build, like, looks completely different than everything else. And luxurious.
That to me would be ideal.
There's value in their name, man.
The problem is the people in charge of these brands are completely out of touch
with
the
market. Of course, because, Mercedes owns them. Mercedes owns them.
And whoever they're going to appoint to run that company, they're not going to let them run the company the way that person would. They're going to run it as a group.
Yeah.
And we've seen what they've done as a group. So that's never going to work again. Right?
Can I share my hope, my dreams? So Daimler owns Mercedes, right?
Correcto.
Geely bought how much? 12%?
Something yes, like they're shareholder.
A fairly high number. I'm hoping that Geely comes in, takes Maybach all the way back to China.
Yeah, yeah.
And spins them off on their own brand.
That would be incredible.
But guess what?
Doesn't sound like that's going to be the case.
China is their market.
Oh, that's why Parsha was making the joke about the T-set. Because they made an SUV prototype, a standalone one that looks like a GLE with like an...
From 1980.
Yeah, like a 1980s Jean-Claude Van Damme movie GLE, right? They go to fight at the Kumite, like he arrived in that shit with the teacups. And they have a T-set on the back of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no need for it. By
the way, the one thing I learned about the Chinese culture, they must not have lawsuits and car lawsuits and stuff, like having serving hot tea while driving in the, like,
that's a good point. So let me ask you guys a question. So with this Maybach news, do you think that this is good news that it's going this way, or is it bad news? Like, how do you feel about it? Like, let us know in the comments below.
Please do, because I'm curious. I want to know if you like that Maybach is going to be like when it was a standalone company, what it is right now, or maybe they're just going to be a trim level that's so fucking disgustingly plush
or it could under deliver. That trim level could under deliver again.
Of course.
No, but that's what I'm saying. If they just keep it as is, that means they're going to make an E-Class with like a Maybach logo and charge me $35,000 more.
I think no. But the thing is, the Chinese market, they may be able to handle that. They could.
So Farghini, let's hear your good news, bad news.
Here we go.
What are the good news?
Bad news. Okay.
Those are the ones I want to hear.
Okay.
I've had many bad news in the past.
So first good news, some Honda news. 186-mile Honda Electric Fit will be priced below $20,000.
That is really? Cheaper than a fucking smart.
It is. Right?
Wow. The smart's done.
Wow.
Yeah. What is the bad news?
Unfortunately, that's still worth much more than your self-esteem.
Beep.
You shouldn't be driving a Honda Fit.
Right after I said that, I was going to be the one like, oh, the smart's done.
Okay. Here
Thank
we go.
You. Thank
this
you,
is,
Parsha.
This is incredible news. This is...
What's the good news?
Okay. It's bad news that there's some good news for it. Okay.
Okay.
So 4.8 million vehicles with cruise control that might not turn off have been recalled by FCA.
Yeah, that's good news. Wow. So that's, people that, are going to be saying that's terrible.
Yeah. Imagine you're in the car, the cruise, it's
how really
I can't believe that happened.
In the car?
Yeah. That's scary.
What's the good news?
The bad news is Keanu Reeves was not available to save everyone.
Oh. Like in the movie Speed, because no one could slow down.
That's how,
I get it. I get it.
I saved that joke, by the way.
I get it.
Did I save it?
You did. Okay, well done.
Here we go. Oh, some VW.
By the way, Hollywood, you got on this too late.
VW and Apple news. This is interesting. A lot of rumors about this. Top secret stuff.
What's good news?
VW and Apple allegedly have partnered up on an electric autonomous transportation van.
Oh, wow.
I actually really like that.
Wow.
Because why not? Apple's got the technology, VW's got the hardware.
Yeah.
What is the bad news on that?
Unfortunately, the partnership has been dissolved due to dongle incompatibility.
Oh.
They just,
by the way, that is for real.
Yeah.
If you buy a brand new Mac or any Mac product, you need to attach like these fucking things that attach to everything else.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It is awful.
By the way, I want to get a new laptop. I was just reading it. They're like, yeah, you can get a new laptop, but which iPhone do you have this? Okay. So you need this dongle and then you need that dongle and then connect it to this dongle.
So hang on. Yeah. That's horrible.
Can we go down this route for a minute? Who chose the word dongle?
I like that word. I love that word.
I love the word because of Parsha. He loves saying dongle. And Parsha used to sell a lot of...
Why isn't it just an adapter? Why is it a dongle?
Parsha was a dongle salesman.
Yeah, I'm a dongle guy. I'm a dongle guy. Dongle guy for life. I can't wait to get back in the dongles. Okay. So we got some Tesla news.
What's the good news?
It's actually really good news for Tesla. You know, they're working really hard on the Model 3 production, right?
Yeah.
So Tesla Model 3 production hits 500 units in a single day.
That is really good news.
That's big progress.
Especially for all the shit that they went through. That's good news. What's the bad news?
Elon Musk was immediately informed that he's got 454,500 more to go.
Yeah, he's running a little behind.
A little behind. And Viper news. We were just talking about the Viper. This is amazing. Well, we all know. I mean, look.
The good news is that
we know it's going to be great news.
The Viper, the Viper is going to make a comeback in 2021. Okay.
In a way, that is good news.
It's good news.
I'll
great
give
news.
You that.
Great news.
That's great news.
What's the bad news?
The Transportation Department has been projecting that 2021 will be the most fatal year for hit and runs.
Get out of here. No.
That is awful.
That's all I got.
Thank you very much, Parker. Thank you very much, buddy, for everything. Ivan, thank you very much for standing there and staring at us the whole time. We really appreciate it. And thank you guys for listening. I guess we'll see you next time.
Yeah, now let's go check to make sure the audio works.
Oh, fuck.